The following sermon was delivered on Sunday evening, March 13, 2011, at Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey.
I'd ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs this evening. Man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps. My plans were to preach a very different sermon this evening, and for various reasons, that didn't come together. So I've gone in a different direction to a text which is in one sense proverbially upon my heart. I trust the Lord will use his word. Proverbs 17, verse 16. Proverbs 17 and verse 16 reads, "Why is there a price in the hand of the fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense?" Let us seek again the face of God for his help as we come to his word this evening. Let us pray. God in heaven, we do bow before you and submit to you, our King, the one who directs our steps, the one who orders our time. We pray that you would, by your grace, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from anything that would stand between us and you, from anything that would in any way hinder us from hearing and believing your word. We pray especially for those who have no sense, no heart, that you would specifically and powerfully minister your word to them. Please come and help us as we look into your word. Help me to proclaim your word faithfully and make it an effective means of grace in all of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine with me for a moment that you're going to the grocery store, something you've done on more than one occasion. And if you're anything like me, whenever you're out in a public place, you're almost always looking down and looking around. And imagine that you find a quarter. Now, if you're like me, you see a quarter on the ground, you pick it up. But imagine that as you're picking up that quarter, you notice several others. And it almost seems to be, as it were, a trail of quarters leading into the store. And as you follow this trail of quarters that lead in to the grocery store, you come to a point where you realize that something is really very wrong. You see paramedics, you see police officers, and they have filled the grocery store. They're there in the department store or the grocery store, and you say, "What are they doing here?" And you're looking around, and then you happen to notice that these quarters lead up to a body lying on the floor. That imagery is the imagery that I want to regularly come back to as we look at this particular verse that Solomon wrote for his sons. The wisdom that he was seeking to impart to his sons included this proverb: "Why is there a price in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom, seeing he has no heart?" And in this particular verse, we see, first of all, a possession described, and then we'll look at the problem identified and the person portrayed. First of all, then, the possession described. There is in this picture, in this proverb, a picture, the price in the hand of a man, the price to buy wisdom. Now, a price is that which you put on an item. You go into the store. It's the number that's put onto the tag. It's the number that's put there onto the label. It's the amount that is necessary in order to purchase that item. This is marketplace imagery that we have before us. The price is the needed amount in order to buy the commodity. This word is used by David when he describes the purchasing of the land and the sacrifices in order to from Araunah in order to stop the plague that is coming to the people. We read in 2 Samuel 24:24, the king said to Araunah after he had said, I'll give it to you. He said, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. I have something in my hand. This is the amount that you say is appropriate for the land and for the animals. I will give you that amount. Or 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 28. It says that in Solomon's day, they procured horses for a price, a particular amount. But it's not the value or the amount that is particularly in view at this point, as much as it is the fact that it's I have that amount in my possession. The price in our verse speaks of the sufficiency of the means to acquire what one needs. And that's carried out in the rest of the imagery. We've seen, first of all, the price, but the price is in the hand. I mean, again, let's go back to my imagery. You're walking into the grocery store. You've followed the trail of quarters. There's the man's body. And you notice that the trail of quarters ends at his hand. And in his hand, as he lies there on the floor, in his hand are a whole bunch of other quarters. As you begin to look around, you notice that his pockets are all stuffed with quarters. He is has a plethora. He has an abundant amount of quarters on his body, in his possession. The picture here in our proverb is that he has the price. He has the money in his hand. Speaks of the availability of that which he needs. It's not only sufficient, it's not only capable of acquiring what he needs, it is actually available to him. It's not like this person walked into the store and happened to trip and fall and died because they tripped and fell. It's not as though they came in and they were really hungry and they needed some food but had no money to buy it. Person has come and they've perished there in the store with the money in their hand. They had what was necessary to purchase what they needed. And that's the third part of the picture. He has the price in his hand to buy wisdom. He's not out looking for money. He's not out looking and waiting for his ship to come in. He has the means to acquire it. And what does he need? Well, what every fool needs, and that's the person we're talking about here, wisdom. In our picture, the one thing that I didn't tell you is I didn't tell you how this person died. This person died of starvation. They died of starvation there in the grocery store with money in their hand. Say, well, that's a strange thing. Why would they die there? Well, we'll come to that. At this point in time, it's to buy wisdom. Just as that person went into the store, and there in the store was the very thing they needed to buy, the food that they needed in order to satisfy their need. The picture here that's painted for us is not only that they have a sufficient capacity to gain what they need. It is actually efficient, it's available to them, and it is efficient to getting the very thing that they need. Imagine, if you would, just a slight change to the grocery store picture. Imagine that the grocery store is filled with nothing but vending machines. This person's not standing there with $20 bills at a vending machine that only takes quarters. He has the quarters that he needs, and it's efficient. It's the right currency. It's the right denomination. It's capable of purchasing what he wants. Again, the verse is not highlighting for us the value of the thing that he's trying to gain. It's not talking about the value of wisdom. If we were talking about the value of wisdom, we'd have to say there's nobody who has enough in order to purchase it. Because, in fact, Job tells us in Job 28, verses 12 and 15 and following, where can wisdom be found and where is the place of understanding? Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is far above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. In other words, there's no way that you could have enough in yourself in order to purchase what you want. It's not the value of wisdom. It's the ability. It's the sufficiency. It's the efficiency. It's the fact that you can get what you need. The fool has in his hand all that he needs in order to gain the wisdom that he most lacks. But it must be spent, whatever it is that's in the hand. It must be used to acquire it. Some people can go into a mall or go into shopping centers and they can go in with a pocket full of money and they can come out with the same money they went in with. And they were satisfied merely to look into the windows. And window shopping was satisfying enough to say, oh, well, that would be pretty. No, that's really nice. But they don't spend anything and they come out satisfied. They still have their money in their pockets. A starving man does not go into a grocery store and gain anything by window shopping. He can stare at the food all day long. He'll never gain any nourishment from it. He can go up and shine an apple or two and look at it and say, wow, isn't that a beautiful apple? But he will not gain what he needs if he doesn't spend what has been put in his hand and eat it. The picture here of our man is a strange one, for the man has everything that he needs to gain that which he most needs. And yet, he does not gain that which he needs. And that which he needs is, in particular, wisdom. The possession described is the price in the hand, capable, sufficient, efficient, available to buy wisdom. Now, here we're not talking about educational wisdom, that is, academics. We're not saying he was given a scholarship to a university or some private school where he could study. The issue here is not a matter of business wisdom, though he certainly wouldn't have that from the imagery that's drawn here, that he might get the wisdom that he needs in order to run a business and make a profit. The wisdom, of course, spoken of in the book of Proverbs is that wisdom which has to do with knowing the Lord. The wisdom that he lacks most is a true saving knowledge of God. We know that from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or chapter 9 and verse 10, which says similarly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This is what he needs most. He needs saving knowledge of God. That knowledge which Jesus himself would say is eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is the wisdom that is heavenly wisdom, which comes down from above, which this fool needs, which this fool has the ability, efficiency to attain. And yet, he's a fool. And that brings us to point number two, the person portrayed. He is a fool. This fool is one who lacks that wisdom that the book of Proverbs talks about. Well, when the book of Proverbs talks about somebody as a fool, somebody who lacks wisdom, it's not talking about somebody who's just a little bit short of a full deck. It's not talking about somebody who's got a little bit of silliness in them. It's not talking about somebody who just needs a little bit of education. It's talking about somebody who is under the judgment of God. To be a fool in the book of Proverbs is to be culpable. It's to be guilty of not receiving that which God provides, that which comes from the very mouth of God. This is the very manifestation of his character. This is his primary characteristic in the verse that we're talking about. He is a fool because he has not gotten wisdom. That's the easy part, the person portrayed. But the person portrayed has a particular problem. He has a very specific problem. And this is where I want to spend most of my time this evening. Again, think of our picture. This man is starving to death. He needs food. Above all else, he needs to eat something. He needs to get something in his body. In his hand, in his pockets, on his person, is all the money that he needs in order to acquire the wisdom, the food that would sustain his body, that would strengthen his body. It's been given to him. It's been placed in his hand. He has it. And yet he goes into the store and he doesn't buy it. He remains a fool. He remains a starving individual because he doesn't buy the food he needs to eat. The fool goes in, he has what he needs in order to gain wisdom, and yet he will not gain the wisdom. He does not gain the wisdom. It is a willful, deliberate unwillingness to gain that which is presented to him, that which he most needs. And the reason for that is the problem that he has. He's in very desperate condition. His problem is that he has no heart. That's what the Hebrew literally says. The New American Standard says he has no sense. He has no heart. Now, again, he's a fool and he has no heart. It does not mean that he doesn't have the necessary price. That's already in his hand. We've already established that. It's not that the item is out of stock. Proverbs 8 tells us that wisdom goes around in the streets. It's on the street corners crying out. It's in the high places crying out. It's seeking, knocking at the door, waiting at the gate. It's not that the wisdom is not available. Wisdom is made available. The conditions are currently favorable. It's not as though he's in unfavorable conditions. He can't get to the store because there's flooded waters all around it. The store is closed. That's not the circumstance that we're facing. He has the wherewithal to get what he needs. He's standing right before it. It's right there in front of him. But the problem is he has no heart. One commentator summarized this point that he has no heart this way. He says he lacks discretion to discern the worth of wisdom and the sincere desire to get it. You see, here's the problem. He has no heart. He doesn't see his need. He doesn't see he's starving. He thinks he's fine. He thinks he's healthy. He thinks he's robust. Where in fact he's gaunt. Everybody who looks at him sees the eyes that are sunken into his head. If you were able to see his ribs, you would see his ribs. His flesh is just hanging off of his bones. The man needs nutrition. This man needs heavenly wisdom. He's a fool, but he doesn't see it. And that's because the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. He looks out and he says, I'm just evaluating things based on the way I look at things. And the way I look at things, hey, I'm okay. I don't see any need to get any food. I don't see any need for any heavenly wisdom. I'm doing just fine in life. Thank you very much. He enjoys his present condition. Proverbs 15:21, folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. He says, you know, I kind of like being thin like this. I can slip through all kinds of places. This is kind of neat. I think the fact that I'm a fool is actually kind of exciting. Everybody laughs at me and I gain some popularity that way. Proverbs 15:14 says, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness." The hungry man, if he eats anything, he pops a quarter in his mouth. He chews on that which cannot actually satisfy him. Worse than that, he's actually chewing on his own skin. His own folly is what he's feeding on. This is what keeps him going. It's a grotesque picture, but that's the picture painted for us here. This is a man who has everything he needs right in his hand. He has the opportunity to get it. He has the sufficient means. It's available to him, and he won't buy it because he says, "I don't need it." Or, rather than not needing it, he's too busy looking at everything else. Rather than going into A&P, he's going to stand outside the store and he wants to look around at all of the beautiful cars in the parking lot. The Lexus and the BMWs. And he's looking at the Mercedes and he's taking them all in. He's looking at the paint jobs. He's looking at the interior. He says, "Wow, who needs food? Look at these cars." His eyes are on the ends of the earth. He'll look at anything and everything except for that which he needs most. And the fool is just like this. He needs wisdom. He needs heavenly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom comes from the mouth of Jehovah. It's the only place to get it is from God's Word and those who feed us from God's Word. And he says, "I don't need that. You know, I'm too busy for that. You know, I've got sporting events to go to. I've got fun parties to be at. I've got games to play. I've got things to do, people to see. I haven't got time to really get true wisdom." His eyes are on the ends of the earth. He doesn't see his need. He's distracted by everything else around him. And in our society, distracted by video games, distracted by internet time, anything but searching for wisdom like silver and gold. Anything but digging around in God's Word and trying to find that which I need most. He doesn't see his needs. His eyes are on the ends of the earth. He doesn't see the value of what he's looking at. He stands there in the grocery store and says, "Apples? How trite. I don't eat apples. I only eat escargot. It's not exotic enough for me. It's not good enough. That's worthless. Heavenly wisdom? Who needs that? It's of no value, nothing that's actually going to gain me anything." And so he actually despises, looks down upon, treats his life the very thing that he needs most. And again, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he saw this. He understood this. In Proverbs 24 and verse 7, "Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gates." Remember the story of sour grapes? The grapes hanging up in the tree and the fox comes along and he can't quite reach them. Oh, they're probably sour anyway. Well, in this case, wisdom's right there, and it's not that it's too high for him to attain in one sense, because he has the price in his hand to get it, but he just says, you know, it's really not worth even trying to reach up and get those. Why give it anything? It's of no value to me. It's of no use to me. And he despises wisdom. But Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us he also despises the means to gain the wisdom. He's not really fond of these quarters either. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction that imparts the wisdom. Even the very means by which it is imparted, he despises those. She despises those as well." The writer of Proverbs highlights several of these, which I think come home very close to many of you. says that the fool despises his father's instruction. Or in Proverbs 15 and verse 20, the wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 23 and verse 9 says, do not speak in the hearing of the fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. You see the picture of our man? You see the picture of our woman? Has the price of wisdom in the hand to buy that which most needs, wisdom. But the problem is they're a fool and they don't see that they have a need for it. Their eyes are looking on everything else. They devalue what's there. Then they even despise the means. What does mom know? She lived in a former generation. What does dad know? He's got his nose in his books and in his workplace. He doesn't understand what it's like to be a teen these days. He doesn't understand what it's like to live it up. What do those preachers know? What, you know, they're constantly throwing words at us like you need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They throw words at us like there's a place called heaven and a place called hell. They keep throwing words at us that somehow I need to make a change in my life and I need to look to Christ. Words, words, words. I don't want them. I don't need them. And they despise the very thing that God has ordained for the impartation of that which is needed most. That's the person portrayed in our verse. But there's a question asked as well. We've seen the possession described, the person portrayed, the problem. But there's also a question asked. The question is, why? Interesting question. You know, he doesn't just make a statement. There's a bunch of fools out there and they have what they need and they're not buying because they have no heart. But he asks the question, why do such people have the opportunity to gain that which they need? Interesting that he should put it in the form of a question. The answer to that question came in the hymns that we sang. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, 'twas blind. But now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. You see, why is there the price of wisdom in the hand of the fool? The one who has no heart for it, the one who doesn't value the opportunity to gain wisdom, doesn't value the means to receive that wisdom, doesn't value anything about wisdom, doesn't see their personal need looking out on the ends of the earth. Why is that person ever given anything in the first place? It's called grace. It's because God doesn't want you to die in the produce department. Because God doesn't want you to die under His wrath as a fool who will not receive the salvation offered in Jesus Christ. It's grace. That's why there's the price of wisdom in the hand. That's why you have Christian parents who have sought with all of their might, though perfectly, not done it perfectly, yet done it sincerely as unto the Lord. That's why they've brought you up in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. That's why they've labored over you to make sure that you learned this Bible while you were still young and your folly was not fully developed yet. That's why you sit in this place, Lord's Day by Lord's Day. That's why you're here today. It's grace. God in His grace has brought you in here and He's putting into your hands, as it were, the means to gain heavenly wisdom. That's why it's in His hand. And it makes it all the more odious when somebody despises it. Because it was so graciously, kindly, abundantly provided. That's the picture of our verse. I wish I could say there was nobody here that met that portrait. But I fear there's more than a few. More than a few who have been given the opportunity. More than a few who have received these blessings from God. The words of eternal life. The words of the gospel. You've received them from your parents. You've received them from your own Bible reading. You've received them in Sunday school classes. You've received them from this pulpit, even this night. And the question is, will you walk out those doors a fool? Now, that's not my word. That's God's word. God says that when the gospel is put into your hands and when God comes in grace and tells you of your need, tells you you're starving to death, that is, you have sin which is eating away at you, which is deadly, terminal, deserving of the wrath of God. This is what you have. This is your condition. Hear it. Believe it. God knows. He sees into your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words. He knows your actions. Though your parents may never have seen it, your teachers may never have seen it, He has, and He tells you, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Your need is desperate. And He has told you, as it were, put the quarters into your hands and said, repent of those sins. Acknowledge your sins. It doesn't purchase or earn anything. And that's where the imagery just totally collapses. You don't purchase salvation from God by your faith and repentance. But the fact of the matter is, He has granted you the opportunity, the sufficiency, the ability to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That you might be saved. Now, where are your eyes tonight? Are they on the ends of the earth? Thinking about all that you're going to do as soon as you get out of this place and as soon as you get home or as soon as you start your day on Monday, you're thinking about that party that you're going to go to, that event that you're going to be a part of, that friend that you're going to hang with, that video game that you're going to play, that internet site that you're going to visit. Is that what you're thinking about on the ends of the earth while you sit there starving? You say, well, I just don't see the value of it. I mean, that just seems so cheap. It seems so empty. I have so much pleasure in this life. Your pleasures are but for the moment. And judgment is coming. And God is telling you, don't despise the gift that's being set before you. Don't think lightly of the gospel of Jesus Christ as though it were some small thing, unimportant thing that you really don't need. That Pastor Carlson's just doing his thing again and he's going to get done. And he's going to feel good that he gets a paycheck. That's not what it's all about. It's about you seeing yourself for who you are. You seeing the reality of what lies ahead of you if you do not repent and believe. And it will not just be your body that will die of starvation. It will be a God who casts you body and soul into hell. And I'm here on a rescue mission with this verse tonight to tell you, do not be a fool. Do not say you have no heart for this. It's a very dangerous condition you're in. And it's a very glorious gospel that's being offered to you if you will just believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all that He calls you to do. Turn from your sins in the repentance and in faith. Look to Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I've heard it enough times that I know it's real. I must have Christ. I do not want to be a fool another day. You've given me the gospel. You've set it before me again this evening. So I urge you, in the words of Solomon, to buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction today. Hear what is being said and embrace and believe in the gospel. Some of you have been receiving, if I can put it this way, gospel quarters for a long time. And they're beginning to weigh you down. And you die with those quarters in your pocket. Again, using the imagery, they will drag you lower than the grave. And your judgment will be greater than the people who've never heard before. And don't meet me at the door and say, wow, that was a nice sermon, Pastor Carlson. I appreciated the way you talked. Don't just take the apple and shine it up and say, oh, that's a pretty apple. It's not enough just to look at the gospel. It's not enough just to say, well, I read my Bible a few times. Well, I obeyed my parents for a day or two. Well, it's not a matter of doing a few things to earn something. It's not a matter of shining it up and just staring at it as though it's really nice. You must eat. The word is in your mouth. You must eat and swallow. And it's going to be bitter as it goes down because it's going to be telling you of your sin. But then it will be sweet because it will tell you the gospel says your sins are forgiven. Every single one. There's no sin that you can commit that God will not forgive. Oh, but what about, let's not go with the sin against the Holy Spirit, okay? Don't play games with the truth. You know what your sins are. That's what you need to be concerned about. And you need to repent of your sins and not stop being the fool that has the price of wisdom in his hand but has no heart. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've heard it. Now is the day of salvation. Go to Christ today. Now, brethren, before I close, it's not as though this verse has nothing to say to us either. Because we can be pretty foolish ourselves and not use the means God has given to us to grow in our understanding of wisdom. And one man said that the price that we have here is every means that God has put into our hands by which to acquire a knowledge of God. Every book on our shelves, the Bibles that we own, the MP3s now, or the old cassettes that we have, the strength that He's given to us, the opportunities, they're in our hand to buy wisdom. Do not act like you once did when you were the fool. But let us use those means to gain more wisdom, that we might know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might know our God better and fuller than we ever have before. May it not be said of us that we were like the sluggard. And when we walked by our vineyard, it was overgrown. Let us stir up our hearts to appreciate the wisdom of God and to strive to have all that we can, to attain all that we can from Him. Let us dig for it as silver. Let us stretch out our voices, cry out for it, attend upon it with earnestness, that we might grow in grace and in wisdom and in the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Again, Father, we ask that you would forgive us. Just scanning the shelves of our houses with all the books purchased, so little knowledge gained. Father, we plead with you that we would not be foolish. We plead with you that no fool would leave this room without coming to you, believing upon you, embracing the gospel. Please come by your power, by your Spirit, accomplish that great work that you alone can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.